This is Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to 2016. This is Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball, and I am your host, Joe DiRienzo. Thanks to everyone who made Season 1 of Our Pastimes Podcast a very successful one. Season 2 kicks off right now. We've got some great stuff in store for you for our second year. Coming up on this first show of 2016, we have some organizational updates from the 2016 Irish Classic and Breakthrough Series, plus I'll be joined by John Manuel from Baseball America to talk about this year's National High School Invitational. So let's see what's leading off. Sixteen teams will come to the National Training Complex at the end of March to compete for the title of 2016 NHSI champion. Four of those 16 teams are making a return visit to Cary. Two-time NHSI champion Modern Day High School, 2014 NHSI champion The First Academy, 2015 participant Huntington Beach High School, and 2013 participant Bingham High School. Modern Day becomes the first school to appear for a third time at the NHSI, and they'll be bringing three NCDP participants and a 2015 15U National Team alum Tony Jacob this year. They won the 2012 and 2013 NHSI titles in their other two trips, so a loss in Cary would be a new experience for this Southern California powerhouse. Modern Day is currently the only school to ever repeat as champions of the NHSI, but the First Academy has a chance to match that if they come out on top this year. 2015 15U National Team teammates Joseph Charles and Kendrick Calileo are high school teammates at the First Academy, so it'll be interesting to see the two of them competing together through a different lens of USA Baseball. They won a gold medal together in Mexico for their country, now trying to win together again, this time for an NHSI championship for their hometown. It's a cool dynamic we've gotten to see a few times with alumni that are high school teammates in addition to being national team teammates. Just one other recent example I could think of, Colby Allard and Lucas Herbert were teammates on the gold medal winning 2014-18U national team. Then they came up to the NHSI and their high school team San Clemente won the NHSI title. And then they were both drafted by the Atlanta Braves in last year's MLB draft. That is about as cool of a path as I can think of for a pair of young players to take in their baseball careers. Huntington Beach returns for a second consecutive trip to Cary for the NHSI, this time entering as Baseball America's preseason number one ranked team. They're led by a pair of 2015-18U National Team gold medalists on their pitching staff, Hagen Danner and Nick Prado. Prado was named MVP of the World Cup this past summer as he picked up two wins and struck out 17 batters in his 14 innings of work, including six and a third in the gold medal game to pick up the gold medal win. Danner was one of Huntington Beach's best arms at last year's NHSI, completing a 7-inning, 3-hit shutout against Puyallup in the quarterfinals. He allowed a leadoff triple in that game, then struck out the side en route to a 13-strikeout game in a huge performance for Huntington Beach. Their only loss came to eventual champion San Clemente in the semis with an overall run differential of 30-10 in their favor in those four games. And finally, Bingham High School returns to the NHSI after a 2-1-1 effort in 2013. They were the source of one of the most exciting games of the 2013 tournament in their final game against Cathedral Catholic, the preseason number three ranked team in the nation. Bingham came back from down 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh to force extra innings, and then in the bottom of the eighth won the game on a walk-off suicide squeeze. That's the last time this team played at the National Training Complex, and if that's any hint of how this tournament's going to go for them this year, we're in for a fun ride. The 2016 NHSI will see 11 national team alumni and 7 national team development program alumni this year, so a solid amount of players are returning with some familiarity to be playing at the National Training Complex. This past year's 18U national team will have 5 total alum at the NHSI, Danner and Prado on Huntington Beach, Daniel Baxt coming to play with Poly Prep County Day School out of New York, Braxton Garrett coming with Florence High School out of Alabama, and Blake Rutherford coming with Chaminade College Preparatory School. And in addition to the 3 15U national team players from this past year I've mentioned, Mark Vientos of the 2014 15U national team will be coming with Flanagan High School. It is a top-notch group of teams, like always with the NHSI, and we're 10 weeks away from that start date of the 2016 tournament, But up next, after this break, I'll be joined by John Manuel from Baseball America to give a little more detail on this year's event and the level of talent that'll be coming together at the National Training Complex this year. You're listening to our Pastimes Podcast. The USA Baseball Shop is the exclusive place to get the latest USA Baseball gear from Majestic Athletic, New Era, Nike, and other official licensees. From now until Sunday, you can get an additional 20% off already reduced sale items at usabaseballshop.com. Just use the code EXTRA, no space, and the number 20. That's EXTRA, no space, and the number 20. I'm now joined on our Pastimes Podcast by Editor-in-Chief of Baseball America, John Manuel, to talk more about the 2016 National High School Invitational. John, I mentioned off the top of this podcast, four of the 16 teams we're going to see at the NHSI this year. They've been here before at least once, and Modern Day and the First Academy are former champs here. How did those teams compare this year to the ones that they brought in the past that actually won the whole event?
Those are star programs now that people know a lot about, and a big reason for that is that they've won the NHSI. Now, Mater Dei has a very long history that predates the existence of the NHSI, but it certainly didn't hurt Mater Dei's reputation as a national high school power that the first time there was a significant, truly national high school baseball tournament, they won it, 2 years in a row. So they really just augmented their reputation. And then First Academy, kind of represented for all of Florida when they won it. Now, it really does seem like this year's First Academy team is more is a little bit deeper than the First Academy team was that won it in 2014. That was a really good team, and we've seen their players. Obviously, Foster Griffin went on to be a first-round pick, and Adam Hazley, now national champion at Virginia. He's the guy who always stood out to me on that First Academy team 2 years ago because, this year for Virginia, he went there as a freshman, I should say, in 2015 to hit, and he didn't pitch much at all, but when they needed him late in the year, he didn't just pitch, he pitched very well, and did it in College World Series even when they really needed him to be stretched out, and there was a lot of surprise and wonder, but for those of us who'd seen him in the 2014 NHSI, well, we just knew that was in Adam Hazley because we'd seen him pitch big innings, deep in the games, in a championship environment. So if you don't think that experience helped Adam Hazley and UVA in 2015, you just haven't been paying attention. So I think this team actually looks deeper on paper. They've got good infielders. They've got another two-way player in Garrett Milchen who has baseball background and some real arm strength and is a asset as an infielder and on the mound. So that team looks a little bit deeper than the First Academy team did couple years back, but I'm not sure they have the star power. And again, Hazley and Griffin were such a 1-2 punch of left-handed pitching. That's tough. That's tough, I think, for any other high school teams to face. And then again, Mater Dei doesn't look as loaded as they were in 2012, 2013. So I think First Academy looks a little bit stronger. Mater Dei doesn't have that, those Ty Moores and Ryan McMahons, those big names and those big bats. Ty Moore went on to a great career at UCLA, and Ryan McMahon, one of the top prospects in all of baseball for me, and a top 50 guy and one of the top prospects in the Rockies organization. But I'm sure that Mater Dei, they're not coming to North Carolina to show up. They're here to win. And Josh Steven is a guy who we have ranked fairly highly in our high school top 100, one of the better bats in the class. The video that I was just watching this morning that we have of him has him as a guy with some real bat speed. So he's 81 on our top 100, and you can really see there's some power potential there. So to me, First Academy looks actually deeper than they did 2 years ago. Mater Dei looks like it's more of a less star-laden than maybe it was a couple years back. But anytime you're from that program and you play the level of competition they play down in Southern California, they're going to be a factor in this tournament.
Yeah, so they're high-profile teams coming from opposite ends of the country, and this event specifically, the scouting community has a large representation at every year. The talent is too good to pass up. all in one place from across the country. So who are some of the players that those MLB scouts and even Division I scouts will be paying close attention to in 2016?
Well, it's twofold. First, you have the guys who, already come in as elite prospects. And, the only negative, I guess, we've ever had at the NHSI over the years has been, where you've had some pitchers who've come in and haven't been able to go, whether it was Lucas Giolito or I forget which first name, Sheffield, two Sheffield brothers. I struggle to keep their names straight, so I won't even try. Or, we saw Dylan Cease 1 year, we didn't see him the next year. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx any of the pitchers. So I'm going to stick to the hitters. And the guys who I really want to see the most, Zach Hess is a pitcher. I'll just get him off the bat from Liberty High up in Virginia. One of the harder throwers in this event. I will give Mr. Hess some advice. Just don't do like Dylan Cease did or some of the other pitchers do and try to throw 100 out of the gate. Ease into your season so that by the time you get to late March in the NHSI, you're still healthy. And then you can try to turn it up in front of all the national cross-checkers and scouting directors and that kind of thing. But, obviously, we had Blake Rutherford. He's going to be very familiar with the USA National Training Complex, having led the 18U team last year to gold, 14 RBIs, led the tournament. 14 RBIs hitting out of the 9 spot for Coach Cicchini and the 18U team last fall. So Blake Rutherford was for Chaminade Prep. He's kind of the top guy. But I mentioned a guy like Stevens, before from Outer Day, Josh Stevens. He's in a similar position to what Cole Tucker was 2 years ago. Cole Tucker was an Arizona high school kid. He was in our top 100, and I just remember the way he was playing at NHSI. I remember having a cross-checker come over to me and tell me Cole Tucker was rising on draft boards extremely quickly, and that was because of the way he was playing at the NHSI. So a guy who was seen as a second- or third-round pick, maybe even a fourth-round pick, coming into that weekend, became a first-rounder, and the Pirates drafted him in the first round. And those are the kind of guys that I really am most interested in at NHSI, a guy like a Greg Valese. And then there's some of the underclassmen. This is an event that's got a lot of really talented underclassmen. Kyle Jacobson at Allatoona High. Allatoona High School in Georgia has become just a powerhouse in sports, whether it's baseball. I think they won a football state championship there. And, of course, again, going back to the 18U team, you just look at Huntington Beach, and Hagen Danner and Nick Prado are, two guys who were key members of the 18U club. I believe that Nick Prado started the gold medal game as a sophomore, the 18U team. You're looking for big game experience. You're not gonna find anybody in this field who has bigger game experience than Nick Prado. So to me, those two guys, and Prado at this stage, according to people I've talked to, is more like seen as a good college player than a big time pro. But Hagen Danner is a big arm, so that's the team where I think they're going to be a lot of eyes on those two young men and on that team because they're really loaded with underclassmen. So I think that you do have players who can go from second or third round picks to rising up, and you can always have like in 2014 where you had Jacob Gatewood and Michael Geddes, that 2014 event. I think we're never going to have the prospect level that we had at that NHSI. That was just that might be once in a decade, amalgamation of talent. That event was so loaded. But coming into that event, guys like Geddes and Gatewood were locks to go higher in the draft than a guy like Cole Tucker. And as things turned out, Gatewood and Geddes, I don't know if either one of them had a hit the entire weekend. Tucker played fantastic, and it wasn't just that weekend, but with all that attention there, I think those guys kept on falling on draft boards. They still wound up getting paid supplemental first-round and second-round picks, but Cole Tucker really put on a show, and so did Foster Griffin, and those two guys went in the first round, and Geddes and Gatewood didn't. So there's a sheer volume of players, but there's also just the importance of the event. I think it's crucial, and it's the closest thing that you get nationally where you get top players against top players on every field in front of so many decision makers. So it's a crucial event for all these players.
Yeah, and it's a phenomenal one to watch these talents face off against each other. Obviously, each team is bringing out a guy that someone's going to be looking at. And last year we saw a team in San Clemente, another guy, top guy Colby Allard for them, couldn't go. But San Clemente was so deep, they still went 4-0 and took home that NHSI trophy. Is there a team in the field this year that may not have that Blake Rutherford or Zach Hess, but they have a deep roster that's going to be able to propel them to that NHSI championship?
I'd say the team that kind of impressed me, just reading up on them a little bit, well, two teams, Walton High down in Georgia. I mean, this is a really strong, tradition-rich program. Did a little research on them a little bit today. And, you know, just looking at this is, you know, major league alumni like Blaine Boyer and Billy Burns, now with the A's, who've come out of this program. And I'm a big Carter Keboom fan. He's not a flashy
switch
shortstop.
Pitcher.
But, yeah, that too. You know, I know he's got some projection to the body with Kristofak. So they've got a big-time pitcher. Like you're talking about who switch pitches. Kind of a new trend, I guess. You have Pat Venditti in the big leagues and the Ryan Perez kid last year who got drafted. So we're seeing some people actually give that a go. But to me, Carter Keboom, just, you know, he comes from a baseball background with his brother who played over at Clemson, actually has played international baseball for the Netherlands. Maybe Carter Keboom's a future shortstop for Robert Einhorn. I think the Dutch are full up of shortstops with Anderson Simmons and Didi Gregorius and yada, yada, yada. So maybe he should play for the U.S. But that roster's deep. The switch pitching helps in a tournament like this. But I think it's just a matter that that's a state runner-up team in Georgia. You know, they're going to have depth. You know, they only lost two guys from last year's roster. So Walton High sticks out to me. And then the other one, I guess I'd probably feel better if they were fully healthy, is Topsail High. You know, they've got the junior, Sam Hall, who's committed to Clemson already, who's their top player. They do have, you know, Bryce Cota is injured, as I understand it, who's committed to Campbell. As far as I understand it, he's going to miss the season with a shoulder injury. So I think if Bryce Cota were healthy, I'd look forward to that a little bit more. The main thing to me is Topsail does seem like their head coach has been there 4 years, and he did a nice job out west at Irwin High School out near Asheville. Now he's gone down to the beach, and, you know, Topsail hasn't been a program for too long, and he's made them a very consistent winner from the get-go. And, you know, the North Carolina teams have generally struggled in the NHSI, and that's even like when Asheville had, you know, T.C. Robertson High was here, and Braxton Davidson as a first-round pick, and some other college players on that team. But in general, the North Carolina teams have struggled, and that's despite the fact that, you know, Joe, this is one of my favorite subjects. North Carolina high school baseball talent is outstanding right now, and you can take any state in the country outside of California, Texas, and Florida, you take the rest of the country, and try to look at their big league alumni. North Carolina stack up with anybody, from especially on the mound, from a Madison Bumgarner or a Carlos Rodon or Chris Archer, to in the field with hitters like Will Myers, the Seager brothers, Dustin Ackley, you know, Cam Maben, et cetera, et cetera. So in my 19 years of Baseball America, it's remarkable to see the growth in this state, just as a citizen of the state, but also to watch the growth of high school baseball in the state. So in that context, one of these years, a North Carolina team is going to do well at NHSI, and Topsail just seems like it's kind of this under the radar. They don't have a lot of big league alumni, because it's a fairly new program. But that team looks like it's a confident club and a club that's had a lot of success, 25-3 last year. That might be a team that makes some noise in this year's NHSI.
And it would be a lot of fun to watch the host school, because every year NHSI has that host North Carolina school. It would be great to see Topsail get deep into the tournament with that team, like you said, that hasn't been a program for all that long, especially in comparison to some of these other long-term baseball schools that we have in the tournament. You mentioned Huntington Beach's pitching staff with Hagen Danner, Nick Prado. I also have Paulson, who's a 17U National Team Development Program alum. And pitching is one of those things in a four-day tournament like this. It's at a premium. You're worrying about pitch counts. Things get dicey. If you don't have a bunch of players you're comfortable putting in high-intensity situations, is there a team other than Huntington Beach, perhaps, at this tournament, unless they're the answer to this, that has enough arms to just comfortably wade their way through a four-day competition?
You know, I don't know every roster frontwards and backwards, so, you know, maybe Flanagan High. They look like they have some, you know, again, there's a couple left-handers there with Dylan O'Connell and then Nick McDonald, the right-hander. So they do have, you know, two frontline pitchers. I'm sure there are other arms on that Flanagan staff. But that's a tradition-rich program from, you know, Florida 8A, which is the top level in Florida. Very high caliber high school baseball played there. They're in a strong conference in South Florida. Flanagan would seem to be the answer other than Huntington Beach. But to me, Huntington Beach, you know, was probably invited long before you guys knew Nick Prado was going to be there. So you throw Paulson and Prado and Danner. You know, to me, they're the answer. To me, they're the favorite. And they're coming in there with that target. And again, this is a program that has tradition. They play a tough schedule in the before the NHSI. They'll play a tough schedule afterward. You know, they're the team that has all the earmarks of the favorite, and, you know, they have to wear it and live up to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they do, and I'm sure that they, if you want to be a great team, you welcome great expectations. You don't shrink from them. And I think Huntington Beach, you know, again, there's not another team that has that combination of talent, but then again, that experience factor, and they do have that pitching depth. But to me, it was Huntington Beach and Flanagan that stood out.
Yeah, and Huntington Beach was here just last year, and their only loss, they went 3-1. Their only loss was to San Clemente, the eventual champion. So they had a good run last year as well. And Baseball America has been a part of this NHSI since the beginning. They're the official media partner working with USA Baseball on this event. It's a huge event in the high school baseball calendar. Is there something a little extra, like a little sense of value for you guys as partners in the event that you were a part of getting it started? When this event rolls around, I'm sure you guys get a little extra feeling there.
We do, Joe. And, you know, last year I wasn't able to go. I went to took a little vacation that weekend. It was bad timing for me from an NHSI standpoint. So it's the first one that I missed. But I came back and, well, first of all, we had like a group, you know, we have like the Slack or I guess we use GroupMe. We had like an internal group chat and my phone was just going crazy all weekend. I had to turn it off because people were going back and forth between different fields. And, you know, that's how BA covers the event. We have someone at every game, whether it's a full-time employee or a correspondent, you know, a part-timer, a stringer. We take the NHSI really seriously. We cover it as intensely or more intensely, really, than we cover anything other than maybe the College World Series. It's huge for us because it's in our backyard and it's in our wheelhouse. It's where amateur baseball, and especially high school baseball, which doesn't get any attention from its own schools usually, unless it's the parents, gets a day in the sun. And that's important for us, especially in the showcase culture world. Nothing wrong with showcases, but there is something to be said for great high school baseball and the purity of that kind of high school team. And we really, you know, want to build that up as much as we can. That's what the NHSI is about. So I think back to when we used to talk about that and when Nathan Rohde, who now works for Prep Baseball Report, but used to work for us and, you know, was our high school writer and kind of pitched this idea and pitched it to us and at Baseball America and then pitched it to USA Baseball. We didn't have, you know, the capability at that time to put on an event. Kind of funny that now our corporate owners would like us to do events. It's like, well, too late. The high school tournament already exists and it's the one that we want to exist. It's the NHSI. So it's a great event from that standpoint. I always think of Nathan, if he's not the father of the NHSI, he's kind of like the crazy uncle of the NHSI. he deserves a lot of credit. He helps pick the teams. He helped pick the teams a lot back then, and I'm sure he's involved now, but again, I know that we, you know, give our input on teams and we're always there to help you guys find clubs or ask questions, those kind of things. But, you know, USA Baseball has a great feel and handle for doing this event now and has kept it a tremendous event and made it a better and better event year in and year out. I know also it's not stagnant, looking at ideas of how we can go in the future. Can this event be bigger? Would it matter more if it's a smaller field? You know, do we have to have a North Carolina team every year, et cetera? How do we get more participation from certain states? So that's the other thing that keeps this event a great event. And then the other thing I always think of is, you know, just having some singular moments. For me, there's from Courtney Hawkins doing his backflip in 2012, the year he was a first-round pick for the White Sox. He did it at the draft, but, I mean, I think the reason that they asked him at MLB Network to do it was because the video we had provided MLB Network had him doing his backflip at the NHSI, and that event kind of went viral in the draft community that spring with him in his cheerleading background doing his backflip on the concrete. I remember our correspondent, Alexis Brudnicki, saying she was kind of flipping out as he was flipping, like, what happens if he hurts himself? Oh, my gosh, I just get us in trouble by asking him to backflip. So she was just praying that he wouldn't bust there on the concrete. So there have been a lot of great moments on the field. I'll probably always remember the, I guess it was, I think it was Hamilton High School from Arizona, Cody Bellinger playing first base for them. And it was against Milton High School from Georgia. And it's just such a high-level game that I covered in 2014 with Dylan Cease pitching and Bellinger playing first, his big league dad in the seats watching the game and helping coach that team pregame on the field. The high level of play, that game sticks out in my memory. And then one last memory would be, that Clovis against Gainesville, Georgia game, where Geddes and Gatewood were on the same, you know, playing against each other, two of the top high school bats in the 2014 draft class. And Joe just walking into that backfield over there at USA National Training Complex. I'd never seen so many scouts at a baseball game. And most of the scouts I talked to had never seen that many scouts. I think if not for the fact that I believe it was the Blue Jays, where a member of the Blue Jays organization died that morning. So their contingent of scouts, the scouting director was leaving, couldn't stay for the game. If not for literally a death in the Blue Jays family, you would have had all 30 scouting directors at one game. And according to everybody I talked to who was there, that's never happened before. Nobody could remember either one high school or even a college game where all 30 scouting directors were on hand at the same game. And that's the kind of thing that only the NHSI can do. So it was a very special event, and it's special for Baseball America. But I think most importantly, I know it's special for USA Baseball as well, but most importantly, I hope it's special for the players. And I hope they realize how unique of an event it is. It's not just some other weekend you pack up your gear for and you go show up to. It's different, and it's a bigger deal, than anything else you're going to be involved with as a high school baseball player, except for maybe a state championship game. So I hope they treat it that way, and in the past experiences that they have, and we've all been treated to some really great amateur baseball, and I'm really looking forward to it in 2016.
Yeah, this year will only be my second NHSI, but I've already learned how incredible an event it is and how unique it is on USA Baseball's calendar. The level of true competition for their hometowns rather than for their country is really cool to watch. And I'm looking forward to this year with this new field with some old faces in it. So, John, thanks for taking the time and joining us today to talk a little bit about the depth in these teams and going a little bit deeper into it than I just got into in the opening block here. So, thanks for the time, and we look forward to hearing from you for the matchup previews on USABaseball.com.
Looking forward to it, Joe. Thanks for having me.
We'll close out today's show with some organizational updates right after this. Panini America is proud to be the exclusive trading card manufacturer of USA Baseball. Before the game's biggest superstars reach the show, they don the stars and stripes, and Panini America is there to chronicle that monumental step in a player's career with the most collectible trading cards, autographs, and memorabilia in the industry, all officially licensed by USA Baseball. Get yours today at your local trading card store or online at iCollectPanini.com. That's iCollectPanini.com. And that'll do it for today's episode of our Pastimes podcast. In addition to all of the great NHSI news we've had today, there are a few more organizational updates to get to. Before the NHSI in March, USA Baseball and Notre Dame will co-host the 4th annual Irish Classic at the National Training Complex from March 4th through March 6th. In addition to Notre Dame, the 6-team field for the tournament is as follows: NC State, Alabama, Bucknell, Brown, and Niagara. Tickets are now on sale and available at usabaseball.com and und.com. This will be the first time since 2014 you get to watch this event, thanks to an unorthodox southern snowstorm last year, forcing the event to be canceled, so go get your tickets now. Another USA Baseball co-hosted event is also in the news, the 9th annual Breakthrough Series co-hosted with Major League Baseball. This year, the Breakthrough Series is expanding to include 5 regional locations and a women's softball portion for the first time. The first segment of 2016 will be in Tempe, Arizona from January 16th through 18th at the spring training home of the Los Angeles Angels, ironically, the Tempe Diablo minor league complex. And then the 4 additional events will be spread out in June and July in Cincinnati, Houston, Pittsburgh, and Bradenton, Florida. Houston will be the host of the first ever softball-only Breakthrough Series event on June 14th and 15th. For those not familiar with the Breakthrough Series and its origin, USA Baseball and Major League Baseball partnered to provide exposure and opportunity for athletes in urban areas and to expand the game of baseball as a whole. Past years have seen the Breakthrough Series in one location that saw 60 to 80 athletes participate. This year, in 5 locations, upwards of 300 athletes should get a chance to perform in these events. The event has grown a ton in these 9 years. That'll be it for the episode 1 of Season 2. We'll continue to preview the NHSI leading up to that tournament beginning March 23rd. There will also be matchup reveal videos on usabaseball.com, in which I'll host a variety of our experts from Baseball America, Prep Baseball Report, and MLB.com. Until then, I'm Joe D'Arienzo. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.